May I speak in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. As many of you know, I moved to Massachusetts in 2012, so I've been through one election cycle here. And back in 2012, I was introduced to the amazing world of Massachusetts ballot measures. We don't have those in Illinois. We only vote for people, not for things. But for this election campaign, I was prepared, and I did a little research, specifically research on what I can and cannot tell you per our church's 501c3 tax-exempt status about the upcoming election. And it turns out that I can't tell you to vote for or against a particular candidate, but I can tell you how to vote on the ballot measures. So here's my advice for you. The questions that are coming up on the ballot about gambling and charter schools, about animal rights and the decriminalization of marijuana, these are real issues and they affect real lives. Policy is never just policy. It always makes somebody's life better or worse. So if you haven't voted already, do your homework on these issues. Think carefully about what is hanging in the balance. And then in the end, vote your conscience. Because God only knows we could use a little more conscience at work in this election cycle. No matter what happens on November 8th and whether you see your favorite candidate or your favorite issue win or lose at the ballot box, I'm fearful that on November 9th we will all wake up having lost something. We may find that we have come to regret the level of discourse that over the last few months we've started to accept as normal. The name-calling and the harshness and the spirit of meanness and malice that has begun to permeate what I always thought was every political party's shared commitment to working for the common good. And with respect to name-calling, I have a particular message for the two major presidential candidates, which is that any language I would not tolerate at youth group does not belong in a presidential debate. I will be writing to both of them this week. But we know also that this election season, we've seen much worse than name calling. We've seen violence and threats of violence, especially against journalists who are trying to do their part for the public good. And much as probably every one of us in this building wants to believe that we are on the side of the good guys, the truth is that this kind of hatred and malice has been coming from every political angle and directed toward every side. No party is exempt. No candidate is exempt. We've somehow built ourselves into a box where it seems like maybe there are no good guys anymore. And last month at the annual Diocesan Clergy Day, Bishop Alan Gates spoke to the priests and deacons of the diocese and expressed a lot of the same concerns that I'm sharing with you now. And he said that in a lifetime of political engagement as a citizen and as a priest, he's never seen anything quite like this presidential campaign before. So he asked all of us to ask all of you to do the one thing that as the body of Christ we know how to do really, really well. He asked us to pray, to hold in prayer those running for office and those working on campaign staffs, to hold in prayer those whose lives will be affected by the outcome of this election, which of course means all of us, to pray for others and to pray for ourselves and to pray for a spirit of civil discourse that might resemble something we would call Christian dialogue in this country again. And if you're like me, the temptation is to turn off the news, stop reading about anything that is happening between now and November 8th, cancel Thanksgiving so that you don't have to talk to your one particularly strident relative. I have been that strident relative. But, of course, as Christians, we don't have that option because we are called to engagement, to be in the world but not of it, and that means working to build a better world. Political engagement is one way to do that, but so is kindness, so is thoughtfulness, so is recognizing that our decisions and the way that we talk about them matter. That the way we treat other people, whether those people are running for political office or living next door to us, those things matter. And we don't get to opt out. And so in the middle of all of this, this climate of hostility and fear and wondering what's going to happen next, we get the story of Zacchaeus. And I've always liked Zacchaeus because I personally feel that short people are underrepresented in the Bible. But Zacchaeus is a unique character because he is meant to be so unlikable. He's a tax collector and a rich man, and we know in the Gospels that anyone who is a tax collector and a rich man is a dishonest person. That's a very thinly veiled code. Zacchaeus himself admits that he has defrauded people. And also, he is the target of name-calling and hostility and meanness and stereotyping. Maybe some of it warranted, but maybe much of it not. Maybe when he climbs the tree, the people on the ground calling him a sinner are people who don't even know him, who have no idea where he's coming from or what kind of life he's led. Maybe not so different from the climate we find ourselves in today, where it is very, very hard to identify the good guys. And yet, Zacchaeus, this man who has a checkered past himself, who is reviled by the community he lives in, he puts all of his effort into climbing the tallest tree he can find because he is so eager to hear some words of redemption and hope from Jesus Christ. He is willing to work to hear that message, to see God's face. Something in him turns when he hears that Jesus is in the crowd. And suddenly he realizes that he has to do whatever it takes to pursue the most important thing. And when he sees the face of Jesus, Jesus sees him back and recognizes him and calls him by name and says, "Come down. We have to break bread together." And that's exactly what they do. And Jesus knows very well that he'll be contaminated by association with this man, right? To even mention the name of someone so publicly and politically reviled gets you in trouble too. That's another thing we've all learned during this election season. But Jesus looks past that because he knows that what really matters is the change of heart that is happening in Zacchaeus. And the love of Jesus and Jesus' recognition of this man and willingness to call him by name precipitates a total change of heart for him, a change of life. He will never be the same. He suddenly realizes that he has better angels and that it's possible to listen to them. And to be totally honest, I think that the climate we've created for ourselves as a country over the last year is a really damaged one, and not one that we're going to be able to heal quickly or through politeness or through the simple act of inviting someone of a different political party to dinner. I think the work we have to do is a lot deeper than that. But all of those steps, they're not the end, but they are certainly the beginning. And what we are called to do is to be Zacchaeus, to seek the face of Christ, to want it so desperately that we don't care what anyone else thinks of us, that we are willing to climb the tallest tree in town just to look for him, to put ourselves out there, to risk ridicule, to risk everything. And also, we are called to follow Jesus by embodying his actions, to be willing to look at people who are reviled, people of different political affiliations, different races, different religions, people who have more or less money than we do. All of those are hot topics right now. And it seems like things that used to not be up for polite discussion, the politeness factor has gone out the window. What will heal us is learning to see each other and call each other by name. Being willing to recognize that each of us has better angels and has the potential to be a true follower of Jesus, a person of compassion, a person who can make a change. We all have a little bit of Zacchaeus in us, both the good and the bad. And it's so tempting right now in the days leading up to November 8th to point at other people and say, I'm assuming the tree's up here, that man is a sinner, without taking a hard look at ourselves. But the amazing thing about the love of Jesus and the redemption that he brings to the world is that it comes for Zacchaeus, the tax collector. It comes for us and people who are like us. It comes for people who are not even a little bit like us and never will be. There is hope for all of us. There's redemption and the possibility of redemption and the transforming love of Christ. And if we seek that transforming love and commit ourselves to it, then we have the ability to answer the call to build a better world. Amen.